Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Dalet, and we're in the middle of the wonderful sugya of Rabbeinu HaKodesh, of his death, and about the story of his life in Beit Sharim, and moving after that to Tzipori. And we just learned about why they moved him to Tzipori, because of the sweet air that's in Tzipori. And we continue on now about the various events that took place on that day. We had started with the Basco, that anybody that's there is going to be Zayt Muzman La'ilam Haba. So let's continue. We're right at the top of the daf, right after Basim Avira. So, who Yuma, the Noch Napshi, the Rebbe, goes to Rabbanu Tanita. The Rabbanu were goes to Tainis, and that everyone should daven the entire day, Ubo Rachme, that Rebbe shouldn't die. Anybody who comes in here and tell us that Rebbe died is going to be killed, because we could continue to daven. If somebody tells us he's dead, that's sort of koveya, then we won't be able to daven anymore. But as long as we can continue to daven for him, after all, we saw yesterday that Rebbe used to come back to make kiddush, so and maybe he can come back to keep protecting the world. He says, as long as Rebbe was alive, there was all kinds of nisim. Nobody ever miscarried a child. All of the issues that people would be misbavel for, b'schus Rebbe and Rebbe's Yisurin, he kept the world going. So they didn't want to know that he had died. So meanwhile, the Amse, the Rebbe, remember, she was the one that was this genius, that every time anybody had a suffix about what the meaning of a word was, she used to come around and tell them, and explain what the just by using the word. So she basically explained to the Talmidim just Misiach Lefituma. That's how much of a Bekiya she was. So she went up to the roof and she said, Elyonim Avakshim Es Rebbe, V'tachtonim Avakshim Es Rebbe, Yiratzon Sheyachufu Tachtonim Et Elyonim. So even though in the Shamayim, obviously, there's a desire to have Rebbe there, and the Malachim all want to be in the presence of Rebbe, but look how desperately we need him down here. Alavai, that those who are davening here should be zeicher to be able to keep him. Anyway, afterwards, it was really getting really tough. Remember, Rebbe was ill with cholim ayin. So keep it the chazoy, kama zimne da ayel beit akise, v'cholatz tefillin u'monachlu. There were so many times Rebbe had to run to the bathroom and he had to take off his tefillin, and every time he had to put on his tefillin, and he was so weak. Tosis points out that normally cholim ayim are potter from tefillin, but that's because they're unable to be zoyer properly with their tefillin. But Rebbe, because of his tremendous kedusha, obviously, he was very sensitive and he would be careful with his tefillin. So she saw that this is no way for Rebbe to live, because he's unable to be Eved Hashem. So she realized that it's over for Rebbe. So then she realized that she has to be mispalvei obvious. So she went up to the roof again, and she said, "Yiratzon sheyachufu elyonim et hatachtonim." And halavai that he should actually die, and that the malachim and everyone was mavakish Rebbe, that they should win in this war. Now this is very nogea halacha lemaisa on many levels. This tefillah of the Amse the Rebbe, amazingly. Because, I mean, first of all, the simplest thing that you see from it is like the Rishonim learned from it. The Ron was the one who made a big thing of it, but that when someone is in a matzav like this, then it's a mitzvah to daven for them that they should die, so that they don't have to be mitztayer. But the question is, how does that impact the elements of medical treatment? I mean, so lechor, if you're allowed to daven for him that he should die, then bepashtis, you should certainly not be marich his life by artificial means, because you're just putting him through tsar. This Gemara becomes a very important part of the modern teshuvas, including Rav Meisha, about what point you're allowed to stop giving life support and so on. But it's amazing that this should be what comes out of Amse the Rebbe's mouth, the most important contemporary sukkahs. Anyway, so, but it didn't matter. The Rabbanan, they couldn't give up. And Lavi Shatke Rabbanan Miliboy Rachame. So she took a kuza, you know, that's a small cup that's made out of cheres. Shadim Igral Aharon, she throws it off of the roof and it makes a shocking sound. And for a second, Ishtiku Mirachame, they stopped davening. And at that moment, Rebbe died. So the Rabbonim were afraid, actually, you know, we stopped davening for a split second. Maybe Chas v'Shalom, he died. So they sent Bar Kapora, go find out what's going on. Zil Ayin. So anyway, he goes and he finds that Rebbe had died. Ashken Danach Napshin. So he tore his begadim, which is b'chuyif to do because of the availers. But then he put the tear to the back so he wouldn't see it right away. And that way he wasn't basically announcing. So he came back, patach v'yamar, and he said, Ereilim u'metzukim achazu b'aron ha-kedesh. So the Ereilim are the malochim lamala and tzaddikim, who are called metzukei oretz. They're the basis of the whole foundation of the earth. Nitz, they were both holding on to the Aron HaKodesh, which is Rebbe, which holds the Torah inside of it. Nitzchu Ereilim et ha-metzukim v'nishba Aron HaKodesh. The Aron HaKodesh has been captured by the Malachim. Omro Leilu, what are you saying? Noch Nafshe? Are you saying that Rebbe died? I never said it. You said it. Don Kamrisana lo Kami. I didn't say anything like that. I was just Maramis. You guys jumped to conclusions, you know. Vishas Petiratosha Rebbe. Zakaf Eser Zbotav Klapi Mala. So as Rebbe was dying, he put his 10 fingers, pointed them upwards, and he said to Ribono Shel Olam, Galui v'yadu alefanecha, shiagati be'eser etzbeotai b'torah, lo ne'neiti afilu be'etzbeketana, that I used every ounce of energy that I had, all 10 fingers. I was Eisek and Torah my whole life, and I didn't take anything from out of the world. I didn't take even according to what the tiniest little bit of all of that work, even connected the etzbeketana. Yiratzen lefanecha, Shehei shalom b'minuchati, that in my minucha salomim, there shouldn't be any disturbances. Yatzta bat kol v'yomro, yavo shalom yanuchu al mishkevotam. Now this pasuk doesn't make much sense because yavo shalom, of course, is a reference to a yachid. And then it says yanuchu al mishkevotam is a lashon rabim. How in the world do we change in the middle of the pasuk if we're talking to someone, Yavosh Shalom, and then turn it to a group? So how come it doesn't say Amishkavcha? Misayel Rebchia Bar Gamda, the Om Rebchia Bar Gamda, Om Reb Yossi Ben Shaul, that B'sha'ash HaTzadik Niftar Min Olam, Omrim Malachei HaSharit Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Tzadik Ploni Ba, such and such a tzadik is coming. Om Elam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let all the tzadikim come out of their Bakam HaMenucha, and Yetzu Likrato, let them come and then greet this tzadik. The Omrim Lo, so then those tzaddikim come and they say to this tzaddik who just was Eilu L'Rakia, Yavo B'Shalom, and then Yanucha Mishkevotam. Those tzaddikim who had gone out to greet him, they go out to be Yanucha Mishkevotam. Omar Rabbi Elazar, B'Sha'ah Sh'atzaddik Niftar Min Ha'olam, Shalosh Kitot Sh'malachei Asharet Yotzot B'Kroto. So there's actually three groups of malachim. Achat Omeret Lo, Bo b'shalom. Achat omeret lo, haleich nichocho. That his derech, the way that he is walking, then somebody who follows that path, that's the correct path. Achat omeret lo, yavo shalom, and yanucho mishkevotam. Ash harasha ne'evad min olam, shalosh kitot shemalachi chabala yotzot likrato. So one says, ein shalom. Actually, the Yirsa over here is the wrong pasuk, according to the Gilyon HaShas. And it should say, Ein Shalom Amar Elokai, Rishayim, because that is referring to the Risha Yisro. The one about Ein Shalom Amar Hashem Rishayim, that was in the middle of the sugya in Yeshayahu about the Bnei Bovel. V'achat omeret lo l'ma'atzeva yishkav, let him lie down in misery. Go down to hell and live there with those who are Arelim, which, of course, doesn't mean literally Arelim. but it means those who are beginner. I mean, like we spoke about on Chag HaSukkos at Alon's house. And this brings us to notice once again how Zoom has beautifully. Yeah, that's because you're on an iPad. It's not meant to be on an iPad, Richie. In the real world, Doc is right on top of you. You can try to pretend that he's not there, but he's there. We're all made. He's there. So you better do a good job. And last night, he took over. You weren't even a competitor. So let's see how well you can do. Go for it. So now that we have finished discussing all of the issues of the kavod that needs to be done to an almana, where she gets to live, and how it is that in his last moments, this was something that Rebbe was very makbid on and told his children that they have to, how it is that they have to treat her. And then we get back to the question of, okay, so she has moved into her father's house, perhaps, because she said, like the Mishnah spoke about, emotionally, I can't handle this. I got to be able to go there. Or because of the question of it being inappropriate because of the age to live together with them. So the question is like this, how long does she have a right to collect her ketuvah? So this Mishnah continues that element and says there's a difference between if they are supporting her in the Beit Aviyah or if they're supporting her in the Beit Baala. So Kozmanchi, the Beit Aviyah, Gova Ktuvah Talo Olam, she can collect her ketuvah, however, maybe 30, 40 years later. It's not a problem. But if she's been living together with the Yorshim in the Beit Baala, she can only be Govek Tuvata for 25 years. Once 25 years pass, that's it. Why is that? Somebody is not muted. Doc, it can't be doctors. Doctors don't cough. So
that's me. Sorry.
Physician, heal thyself. So over here, why is this? Because within the 25 years, there have been so many knocks on the door by her neighbors. Could we have a couple of eggs? We need to borrow a bottle of milk, and so on and so forth. Now, none of that has ever returned. So in those 25 years, she's probably given out the value of her hoksuva. So since she went ahead and stole all of that from them and gave it to the neighbors, so that's it. She used that priksuva. And because of that, the Rabbanan said she doesn't have a ksuvah. So says Rabbi Meir, who's quoting Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. The Chachamim omrim exactly the opposite. Chas v'chalila, the Rabbanan should take away her ksuvah. What an awful way to end Maseches Ksuvos. On the contrary, they're very happy that she is menahela at the house the way it should be, and that the neighbors feel close to them, and so on. She has every right to do that. It's exactly the opposite. As long as she's in the husband's house, and she's living together with them, then there's no 25-year limit. She can collect her ksuva 40 years later, 50 years later, whatever. But if she was living this whole time in Beit Aviyah, then there's a 25-year limit, and that has nothing to do with using it up. It has to do with the fact that if she hasn't mentioned the ketuvah for 25 years and they've been supporting her this whole time and she hasn't said a thing to them about the ketuvah, so then that shows that she doesn't have any interest any longer in collecting her ketuvah and that she was mochelet, because after all, I mean, to ask them also for a ketuvah, this she's not going to do. They've been so good to her and so on. Doesn't mean that she was mochelet. And listen, it's not as if she had lent money. I mean, the ksuva was basically given to her. And if she doesn't collect it, she's not losing. She's just not gaining. If she died, then the same din applies to her yorshim. Yorshei maskirin ketuvata ad 25 shanim. They have to at least raise the question and the possibility of their collecting her ketuva within 25 years of her death. So now, according to Rebbe Meir, something doesn't make sense. I mean, look, there is the simple ksuva. Simple ksuva is basically the 100 or the 200. So it says it by Rav Yosef. Look, Rebbe Meir is saying any woman can't collect her ksuva. Does it make sense to say that the poorest woman who has a $200 ksuva, that is esrim l'chamesh shanim, according to Rabbi Meir, she used up her $200 ksuva, and Marta bat Baitus had a $200 million ksuva, it's the same thing? She used up her ksuva in the same 25 years? Does this make sense? So how do you explain Rabbi Meir? Omar Leh said, Rabbi Yosef, absolutely. Remember that we load the camel up according to how strong he is. So if you got a woman who's got a $200 million ksuva, so then you could be certain that the mishulachim that are coming to the door, not just the neighbors, the whole city is coming there, and she's giving out money and so on. Believe me, she already collected her ksuva too. So everything goes according to what it is that you've got. The stronger the camel, the more you have to carry. Now, if Rabbi Meir holds seriously that the issue is that she's using up her ksuva, so then do we prorate it? In other words, she used up the whole ksuva in 25 years. Okay, so then in 12 and a half years, she used up half her ksuva. Is that how it goes? So according to Rabbi Meir, Malsha Tishalesh, should we split it according to the amount of time and prorate it? Or do we say that basically, it's only once she's used up the whole ksuva, then we start looking at what it is that she's done. But before that, it's just sort of the way in which we live. Take. Now let's move on to the Chachamim. The Chachamim say just the opposite. If she's in her family home, not her husband's home, so then we assume that there was mechila. If she's together with the heirs, then we do not. Amalei Abayelor of Yosef. Does this make sense? 25 years, like we define 25 years. So what you're saying is, if she comes 1 minute before Shkia, at the last day of the 25 years, so then she's allowed to collect her ksuva. But if she gets a telephone call, and now she shows up 5 minutes later, then she can't collect her ksuva. So then it's over. She can't collect anymore. How do you explain this? I mean, if it's really dependent on mechila, so by Yipur Tachilta, it's that little amount of time. That's the mechila? I mean, either there's a mechila or there's no mechila. I mean, isn't it a function of a lot of time that passes? Omar Lezer of Yosef said, what kind of question is that? Absolutely. Don't you understand that kol midat chachamim kenhi, the whole way that the chachamim deal with the world is to provide an absolute point at which we can koveya ki yeted takua, as Rashi puts it, every shear is like this. Look, you could be teivo in 40 saw of water. I mean, because that's the norm, and that's basically the way that a normal person can put his whole body into this. Because of that, if it's a tiny bit less and it's a smaller person, it's not good. I mean, how do you explain that? Yeah, so barbaim sa'atovel, and if it's missing one tiny bit, Chaser Kurtov, he can't be Tevo. So you're going to make it impossible to be Tevo because of a half an ounce. But that's the din of the Chachamim Shir of the Kashers of a Mikvah. That's how they're Kuvea. So there's some big discussions about this. According to Ritva, it's really a getter of Lo Plug. That once they're Kuvea, that's the din. Others Taina, that it's a Kabbalah, and that they were able to be Kuvea, but then it becomes the Shir D'Oraisa. Okay, that's something to think about. Omer of Yudam Rav, Heit Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosef Bifnei Rebbe, Sha'omar Mishum Aviv, Rabbi Shmuel said that this was said by my father, Rabbi Yosef, that this whole idea of being Mochelet Ksuva is only where She'en Shtar Ksuva Yotzi Mitachat Yadea. She doesn't actually have the Shtar of the Ksuva. But if she has the Shtar of the Ksuva still in her hands, then go Vak Tuva Tam Liolam. Because if she would really have been Mochela the Ktuvah, she would have given the Shtar Ktuvah back to the Yoshim. Since she's holding on to it, means that she intends to use it and to prove that it was never paid. Was Rabbi Elazar Amar? Makes no difference. Afilu Shtar Ktuvah Yotza Mitachat Yadeha Eina Govaya Lad 25 Shanim. According to the Rabbanan, she's got 25 years, and the fact that she holds on makes absolutely no difference. What's the Ripshashis? Baal Chov Goveh Shalo Bahaskara. That when it comes to someone that is owed money, He doesn't have to mention the fact that he's owed money. He comes 50 years later and he says, I want to collect my debt. And the kids say, you never said a word about it. Now, all of a sudden, 50 years later, all of a sudden, we owe you money. So I'm not mechuyev to say anything to you. Now I want my money. And that's absolutely correct. As opposed to the question of the almana, where we have this inyan of possible mechuyev. So now, in contrasting about chov to an almana, consider what we're talking about. Hechidoni. What are we talking about over here? Does he have a shtar? I mean, if he doesn't have a shtar, how is he coming to collect? So it must be that he does have a shtar. And nonetheless, we're making a juxtaposition of the Baal Chov to the Almana to say that the Baal Chov, when he has the shtar, has no problem because Lav Baruch Hu Lehu. Why would he be Meichel? It's crazy. Of course I'm not Meichel. What do you mean? I gave the money, I'm going to lose my money? The Almana, I understand the Almana didn't give money. Fine. And furthermore, the Baal Chov, why should he be Meichel? The Almana has reasons to be Meichel for 25 years. They've been taking care of her and so on. I understand all of that. But you see that we're only juxtaposing the cases where there is a shtar. And we're saying that an Almana in the same situation, and she's holding a shtar, that she is still Achilta. That's the whole point, right? So you see, as opposed to Rab, that you... even if she's got a shtar, she still can't go ahead and be gova after 25 years. And then Rav Sheshes himself realized that he made a mistake. Hu motivla, he asked the question, Rav. Vehu mefarekla, and he answered the question. L'yoylam delo nakit shtara. No, the brice about the Baal Chov is not talking about where he had a shtar. It's talking about where they're not arguing at all about the Chov. He comes to collect the Chov, and they say, of course, we know we owe you the money, but you haven't mentioned a thing about it for 50 years. I mean, obviously, you were Meichel. And he says, no, I'm not Meichel. But he doesn't need a shtar to collect if they admit that there was a thing. So the Olam Delo Nakit Shtara V'Chomayaskinan Kishachayav Modeh. The guy admits that this is definitely a debt. Ask the Gemara, again against Rab, the Amar Avilah, Shonim, we have a brighter that says, that a grusha, a case of a divorcee, is the same as a case of a Baal Chov. So, which means that even though an amana, she would be mochelat or ksuva, but obviously a grusha, why should be? She's up in arms against her husband. Why in the world would she do any favors by mochel or ksuva? It's ridiculous. Please mute. So she has the same din. Barnea, please mute. She has the same din as a Baal Chov. So tell me what the case is over there. If she doesn't have a ksuva, so how is she collecting ksuva? How do we know she didn't collect the ksuva before bringing it into Bezna? So it must be that she does have a ksuva. And it's saying only a grusha who would never forgive it, she's the one that can collect. But an almana, even though she has a shtar ksuva in the same case, she was mochelet. So lechor it's against Rav. And he answers the Gemara. It's exactly the same way we answered the other question. Achanami kishachayav modeh. The husband agrees that he still owes her the ksuva, and therefore we don't need the ksuva. Fine. Now, if we're talking about the Rav that we've been able to continue to answer, so then we have a brisa actually that says like Rav, and that the halacha is that we're talking about an almana who doesn't continue to hold on to her ksuva. Om Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, Toni Rav Yehuda Bar Kaza, in the brises that they had made up in the yeshiva Bar Kaza, that at any time that tav'a ketuvata within the 25 years, it starts over again, another 25 years. And furthermore, if she's holding the shtar ketuva and yotzi shtar ketuva mitachat yadea, then gova ketuvata la'olam, exactly what Rav had said. Sholach le'Rav Nachum bar Rav Chisto, Rav Nachum bar Yaakov, yelamdenu rabenu. So tell us, what is the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim? Is it kishishtar ketufa yotze mitachat yada machlokas? And even there, there's a machlokas, or dafka, like Rav says, b'she'in shtar ketuva, you would say, mitachat yada. because we'd like to have a psak about this, right? And there's also obviously the machlokas about whether we're talking about bebeit ba'ala or we're talking about bebeit avia, because they're exactly the opposite shitas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. So who's the halacha like? Do we go like Rabbi Meir or do we go like the Chachamim? And that the 25 years are a reference not to using up the ksuva and therefore it's talking about where she's bebeit ba'ala, but to actually being mochelet the ksuva, like the Chachamim. Sholach leis, Reb Nachman bar Yaakov answered them with a tshuva. We're talking about dafke b'she'in shtar ktuva yotzi mitachat yada. But if shtar ktuva yotzi mitachat yada, just like Rav said, even the Chachamim agree, there's no mechila, and govak tuvata la'olam. As far as the question of like whom is the machlokes, the psak halacha, halacha kedivrei chachamim, that this entire thing is nogea mechilata ktuva and is not nogea using up the ktuva. And when Rav Dimi came to Bovel, he said, Om Rebbe Shimon ben Pazi, Om Rebbe Shimon ben Levi, Mishum bar Kapora, back in Eretz Yisrael, they said that when the Chachamim said this halacha, that 25 years is mechila, that was only nogea mono umatai. That was nogea the ikra ksuva. Suppose the husband had given her a tosefet. If he wrote her a tosefet, but that she values as a special gift from her husband, why would she be mochelet on the gift? That's something else. So the tosefet, that she gets even after 25 years. And over there, there's no mechila. Whereas Rabbi Avoham, Rabbi Yochanan, afilo tosefet in la. Why? Because of the general halacha. All the tna'im in the ktuva have the same din as the ktuva itself. So since a tosefet is something that was added as a tna'i to the ktuva, because of that, the dinim that she cannot collect after 25 because of mechila applies to all of the additional issues. And therefore it makes no difference. Itmar Namim, Shenkin Rivka, the Bar Kapora's approach is also Amravav Amravuna Amarav, Loshana Lamanamatayim. Rav also paskins like that. The Tosefet, she's not Mochela. And the Tosefet, Yeshla. So Rav Abba said to Ravuna, when he said over in the name of Rav, Rav Abba said to Ravuna, Rav said that? Or my life, Ravuna said to him, I'm not quite sure about your tonality. Are you telling me, shut up? Or are you telling me, have a drink? Meaning, wow, that's excellent to know. So in other words, you were nispoil? Rav said that? Have a drink on me. Or were you saying, are you crazy? Rav said that? You should shut up. So which one did you mean? Ashtikan, were you telling me to shut up? Or were you telling me, Ashkayan, I'm offering you a bunch of Tawrisker? That's the question. Amalei, dream on, buddy. I was telling you to shut up. Ishtakin Kamina. I don't believe Rav could ever have paskened like that. Now, here's an interesting situation that came up in context of all of these halachas. It turns out that Reb Chiya Aricha's mother-in-law was his brother's wife. Okay, so this was a classic case out of the Sechet Yevamos, right? Now, his brother dies without children. Obviously, he can't be Miabim his mother-in-law. So he is left in a position of inheriting. He was the only heir because the brother didn't have any children. So he's in the position of inheriting his brother's property. And now she is a normal Abana. She's not a Yevama. So he takes care of her for 25 years. And she had moved out of his brother's home. She had moved out to her family. And during those 25 years, he was supporting her. And at the end of 25 years, he stopped giving her money. So she said to him, where's my mezonos? Amarlah, it's too late. Let's lach mezonah. You don't get mezonos anymore. 25 years, you never said anything. Now, this, by the way, is a big machlokas, apparently, between the Bavli and Yerushalmi, about whether she is also mechelet mizonot, or the dinner mechila is only chal on the actual ksuva. Listen, Akiva, today, apparently, it's just me and you, Gavi, has bowed out from everything, apparently. So we'll have to make this work just between the two of us. Ha-ha. There we go. Now, my problem is that I'm unable to break this, and I don't want the whole thing. I haven't eaten a thing in 4 days. I am so weak. I can't break the pill. Oh, gosh. I have nothing to do. All right. I'm just going to drink plain water then. And I'll allow you to do the boost for me. Okay. So anyway, so she says, okay, so give me my ksuba at least. I said, absolutely not. You don't get any. You don't get mezunos. You don't get a ksuba. 25 years. Everything is machul. So she's Susan. And she goes to court in front of Rabbi Bar Shila. So Rabbi Bar Shila says to Rav Chiya Aricha, okay, just tell me over easy, like, what exactly happened? I need to get all the facts. So he says to Rabbi Bar Shila, look, I want you to know how good I've been to her for these 25 years. I mean, for 25 years, even though she was living not in my brother's home, which I had inherited, right? And I had to schlep across town. I schlepped across town to her family's house to support her every single day. I didn't send it to her. I wanted to show her how important she is to me, how much covet I have for her. And I went and I carried this on my own back. I swear, on my own shoulders, I brought it to her. And now that she hasn't mentioned anything, so this is it. I think 25 years is enough, don't you think? So Rabbi Bar Shila said to him, on the contrary, just the opposite. Now that you've told me how much you were mechabed her, now you lose the case. What? Yes. Because, look, why did the Rabbanan say that kozman she bebeit ba'ala govak tuvatela olam? As long as she's living by the husband's house, then she doesn't have the 25 years. Because there we say, look, she's not going to, if she's been living with them and they're taking care of her up close, it's embarrassing. I mean, she's not going to say to them, don't forget, you owe me a ketuvah. I mean, they're so nice to her. They're taking care of her all the time. So that's what she's going to say. You know, I'm going to have to get my ketuvah from you one day. It's very embarrassing. So therefore, we don't assume that she was meichel ketuvah. Masha'en came in the case where she doesn't see them. She's not with them. They're over there, she's not embarrassed. But here, now that you're telling me the extent at which you're mechabeder, that you drag the food over to her every day and she saw you every day bringing it over on your own shoulders, we can understand that, of course, it would be very embarrassing for her to actually say to you that she intends to collect the ksuva because you were so mechabeder, therefore you lose the case. And in this case, the fact that she didn't say anything doesn't mean anything. Get out there and pay her a ksuva, you bum. Okay, this Rashi understands that Lamaisa, in terms of the halacha Lamaisa, the nafkamina could be stum, the not necessarily having to go out of your way like this, and that any time that she's still in the Beis Baala would doesn't necessarily mean it has to be in a situation, but where she's dependent on someone, she's not going to be meich. Anyway, Reb Chiya Aricha thought this was ridiculous, and he completely ignored the psak halacha of Rabbi Bar Shila. Okay. So she goes back to court, and the din is that if somebody doesn't respond to a court order after tishim yom, so then you write an adrachta. An adrachta means go out and grab it. So it says she sees it, basically. So she insisted on getting a court document called an adrachta that she should be able to go and collect from his property. So Rav Chiya comes to Rava. Now, we're going to discuss whether it ought to say Rabbah instead of Rava in a couple of moments. Let's meanwhile take the gears of Rava. You'll see why it makes a big nafkamina. So she comes to Rava. He comes to Rava and he says, look at this ridiculous psak halacha, says Rav Chiya, that Rabbah Bar Shila Paskin, take a look at what he did to me. Chazimar echidana. So Rava said to him, excuse me, I think he's absolutely right. You're a no good nick. Go ahead and pay her the ksuva. Shaber danach. So then the almana said, well, now since the court has ruled in my favor, So now I want more than the ability to take away his field. I want to take all of the peirot that he's eaten from this field from the time that the court wrote out the Adar Kita. Now, this is the question about Rava and Rava, because the truth is there's a machlokas in Bava Metzia. From what point someone who is going to be seizing another person's property, from what point does he get the rights to the peiros of that property? So indeed, Rava says you do not get the rights from the moment of the court's issuing the Adar Kita. You only get the rights after the whole process of the Hachraz on the 60 days of mentioning it and so on, and in the public auctions, then you get the rights. So if it says Rabba, as Tosis points out, it works out very nice, because Rabba is the one who holds that you actually do get it from the moment of the Adar Kita. So this Almana seems to either have some pretty good lawyers, or boy, she's a big Talmidat Chachamim. So anyway, so she goes and she says, so now I want to be able to get the peirot. I don't want just to be able to get the sadeh. So, okay, so Rava says, I want to take a look at your documents before I issue a psak. So show me the document. Let me see the document that Rabba Bar Shila wrote out. And he sees that the document is written without the words, quote, the ishtamudana de nechasim elu demitna inun, unquote. That we in this court have actually discovered that the properties against which this Adar Kita is issued did in fact belong to her deceased husband. Doesn't say that. Which means that the way Rabba Bar Shila wrote this out, you would have a right to go and take any of Rifkia's sadeh. And you do not. You can only collect from your deceased husband's field that the were inherited over here by Rabkia Aricha. So therefore, this is not a kosher Adar Kita. Sorry. So you cannot use it to collect. We'll write you out a new one, obviously, but it can't go back retroactively to collect the peirot because it wasn't properly written. So therefore, he says to her, Amar la Adar Kita lav shapiktiva. This is an illegal Adar Kita. So she says to Rava, Tizel Adar Kita, the heck with the Adar Kita. I want to be able to collect, not from the time you gave me the Adar Kita, Ishko miyum neshlim miyum hachrazata. Since there were already these days of the Hachroza of Besdin, so Besdin had already identified a field, and Lamaisa, they had a public auction. I mean, it's ridiculous. So if they had a public auction, and we knew which field we were taking, so at least from the end of the public auction, now this could be going to Rava, you see, because that's when Rava holds, they have a right to collect. But anyway, so from the end of the public auction, at least till then, even if the shtar isn't kosher, but at that point that they already did the auction, for theirs, for sure it's mine, right? And I want the peiros from then. Now it's 2 months later. Omar Allah said, Ravater, that's true, but only when the auction was based on a kosher Adar Kita. And your auction was not based on a kosher Adar Kita, so we're canceling the auction also. So that's only Hanimila Echadoloktiv Ta'uta Ba'Adar Kita. But over here where the Adar Kita is on the face of it, a mistake, let Lanba. Then I'm sorry, the whole thing is canceled. But then she says to him, but Rebbe, you're the one who paskin that Achrayas is a toes sofer. Boy, you wouldn't want to be married to this woman, huh? So she says, what do you mean it's a toes? I mean, it should be the same, like your own psak, that if somebody didn't write in something that obviously needed to be written in, so then we just view it as an oversight. But we don't view it as a psul in the whole shtar. So then why don't you recognize my Adar Kita based on your own psak? So then it's Rava. Okay. So anyway, Rava says to her, because this was no mistake, madam, this was done on purpose. Because in this case, Rabba Bar Shila, who wrote the Adar Kita, made a big mistake. He actually meant for the Adar Kita to be issued against all of Rabkhiya Aricha's fields, not only the ones that were inherited from the brother. because he thought, I'll tell you what his mistake was. He thought, who's Savur? Hani Bahani Dide. What's the difference? Basically, he owns these, right? So what difference does it make if we write the Adar Katar? She has a right to get her money out of him. Now, if they insist on her taking only the field that was originally Meshulbat or Ktuva, so they can always come and say, excuse me, lady, but we want to take this field back. We'll give you another field. But to make it easy for her to collect, he actually intended to write out an Adar Katar on everything, because ultimately, what's the difference? They can always get it back, right? But that's a big mistake, said Rava. He was wrong. And therefore, the Adar Katar is an illegal Adar Katar. I'll tell you why. I mean, what really do we care? I'll tell you why we care. Because if we allow this to happen, so zinim da'azulam ishabchalahu, what happens if basically she goes out and she is mishabeach these fields, and meanwhile the heirs will allow the fields that belong to her husband to be completely messed up. They won't take care of them. Then they'll go back afterwards and they'll say, okay, lady, we want you to take the fields that were originally meant to be yours. And meanwhile, they've been allowed to be turned into a mess. And we want our own fields back. Thank you very much for taking such good care of them. And she won't be able to stop them. And this way, she's going to have a loss in the field. So therefore, Atila Fukilaz Habedina, people are going to say, this is the way that a Bezdin takes care of an Almana. So because of that, we don't allow a collection against the fields of Rebchia Richa, because of the fact that in the end, this is not the way to conduct business in the Beis Din. And therefore, when he wrote this Aricha, he wrote it wrong, and he wrote it wrong on purpose, and it wasn't a Ta'ut Sofer, and therefore, the heck with it. We will not allow this collection. Is Richie available? Hadran Alach Anosei.
B'li Neder. Funkten the Helika Perek.
Oh, Baruch Hashem, we're Zeicha to begin Perek Yud Gimel. The din of Shnei Dayanei Gezerot, Ayub Yerushalayim. We'll just begin the Perek, and then Bezrat Hashem will start catching up tomorrow. So there were two. What in the world Dayanei Gezerot mean? Very unclear. And the Gemara is going to explain it to us. And who were they? They were Admon the Hanan ben Avishalom. Hanan Amar Shnei Dvarim, Admon Omer Shiva. Now there were two special Piskei Halachas that Hanan said that the Chachomim disagreed with. And Admon had seven different things that they refused to agree to. And all of this Perek is basically going to deal with these particular issues, which are all Nogea, the Sugya's hearing service. So, Mishalach Lubdinat Hayam, here is the first of the two of the Hanan problems. Mishalach Lubdinat Hayam, Vishto Tovat Mizonot. Okay, so the husband is not here, and as we've seen throughout the Masechet, the woman can go to court to be Tovat Mizonot. So, Hanan said that Tishava Basof. Only when she is, we spoke about this earlier in the Masechet, of course. Tishava Basof. Only when she comes to collect the Ksuva. So in other words, they get a message that the reason the husband hasn't come back is because he died. So in any case, she always has to swear that he wasn't Atvis Lo Tzoras. Okay. So when she makes that Shvua, so then she should, that's the Shvua that she makes. She doesn't make a Shvua at the beginning, when she's claiming mizonos, and the husband's not here. And generally speaking, we have a klal p'tach picha le'elim, and if this person is not around to defend himself, so the court should be able to taina. I gave her money before I left, and so on. No. In this case, she swears only at the end, and the Beis Din's going to go after his fields, even though he's not here to defend himself. So, nechleku alav b'nei kohanim gedolim, the Amru, Tishava Batchila Ubasov. She has to swear that she wasn't given tzrari, both at the beginning when she wants her mezainas, and at the end when she comes to collect her ksuva. And Omer of Deis ben Gurkin is kedivrayim that they are right and Hanan is wrong. Omer of Yochanan ben Zakkai, I disagree. Yafa Amar Hanan. I think that Hanan was right. Lo tishava elabasov.